The scripture reading this evening will be coming from Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12. Then the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink." Then Moses and Aaron came in front of the presence of the assembly to the doorway of their tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod and assemble you and your brother... And you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water from them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock and said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water from you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me, to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." These were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he provided himself holy among them.
Good evening, everybody. This morning we talked about mistakes a little bit. Talked about some of the things that young people can do when they are inexperienced and lack wisdom, and some of the mistakes that they make. And so I just thought that this would be a fitting companion lesson to go along with that. And so we're going to look at Moses, and it's a story that most of us know. And it's about him literally striking a rock as opposed to speaking to a rock. And he made a mistake. Now, I think you can call Moses the man of a thousand sermons. There's all kinds of sermons you can make with Moses. And so this is just one of them we're going to be talking about. Now, this isn't the first time, by the way, God provides for the people of Israel when there's no water to be had. We understand that. Now, when we lived in Florida, you didn't have to go very far. You could dig 3 feet down and you're going to find water. I mean, it's just that it's just absolutely everywhere. But in the area where these people were, not so. So this became a life or death situation. So I don't think, it's my opinion, that we should be as really hard on the people of Israel as sometimes we have a tendency to be, because a lot of times we like to shift all of the blame and all of our anger and all of our ire against those whiners and moaners and groaners and complainers. But I'd like for you to think, first of all, about how your situation is. All of us, when we leave here, I believe, are going to a house that has air conditioning, has it has all the creature comforts there. We have our televisions, we have our internet, we have everything in our fridge. We're really not hurting for very much at all. And just imagine that after today, you no longer had that home to go to. In fact, you're just going to travel around in tents. You're going to go from place to place to place. Now, I know a lot of you like to camp. But how would you like to camp for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years? Camping. No home to go to. You're camping. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place after being going from place to place to place. And a lot of times it seems like it's just survival. Yes, the Lord has been good to you. He has still supplied your needs. You still had food to eat. You still had other things. But now you find yourself in a place where there's obviously no food around. That's what our text was saying. And there was no water around. And this is not a good place to be. You have family who's with you. You have sons, you have daughters, you have children, and you have some animals that are yours. Now what are you going to do? And so don't you think the people had a legitimate reason to be concerned about where they were? So once again, you could say, well, yeah, they're whining and crying again. And you can say, well, it's just because they don't have faith. And we can talk about that part as well. But we want to look at what Moses did in reaction to this. Now, this is not the first generation of people who were out wandering in the wilderness. Remember, this is the second generation. The first generation died in the wilderness because they got to the edge of the promised land, and then they took the spies in, and when they came back, the spies gave a bad report, and they all moaned and groaned and complained, and God says, okay, have it your way. You're going to die in this wilderness, and then your sons and daughters are going to have this land as for a promise. So those sons and daughters or whatever have had this whole opportunity to see possibly two exoduses and spend a lot of time in that wilderness, basically. And so verse 1 says that they were in Kadesh, or how you say it. And this is where that's Moses' sister, she passes away. She's part of that first generation. All right? And in verse 3, they refer to the families of brethren who already died in the wilderness. Right, trying to remind them of just where they've been. And this first generation was condemned to die because of their unfaithfulness and because of their ingratitude in Numbers 14. And many already died in a rebellion that Korah had made. And if you remember, he was the one who also came to Moses and says, you've taken too much upon you. We are just as good as you. And so we deserve to be able to offer incense, and just like you do, because we're basically same kin. And so they found out differently about that. And this generation is on the promised land. And you have to remember, God is the one who has these people camp in this place. It wasn't Moses. God is the one who actually put them there. Now, so these people were bitter. And so I can't blame myself personally, Moses, for feeling the way he does. The people seem to have no faith in making it to the promised land. They have, especially with this current leadership, and you know, as things are going on, Moses is getting older and older, and these people here, there's a couple of generations between them even. So, you know, they're not on the same page. You got the old guys, and then you have everybody else. And so, verse 4 says, they did not question God, but they did blame Moses for being incompetent. Now, let's take a look at Moses' point of view, all right? Now, guess who else has been wandering in the wilderness for all this time? Moses. He's gone through the very same things they went through. He's been to the very same places, ate the very same food that they ate, did everything that they did, saw all this unrest that was going on with the rebellion in Korah and all that. And so it's not hard to imagine Moses saying with this group of people, I'm never going to make it to the promised land. Okay? I've lived my life and served these people, and what thanks do I get? These people are nothing but a yoke around my neck. And so once again, Moses was feeling a little bit unappreciated, especially when the people were saying, it's all your fault that we're here. Oh, we wish we could have died back then. No, 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 you've got us in a place here where we're going to die, and it's all your fault. We're all going to die, and it's your fault. It appears, if you read that text, that resentment is riding high. Okay? Both parties failed to focus on God. Now, that's the part where I'm going to ask a question. Have we ever been into a place where we seem to be at an impasse with somebody because we just don't see eye to eye about whatever it is? And that we're not focusing on God. We're not focusing on the real important things about how do we strive to keep the unity and the bond of peace. And that's what we're told in Ephesians, that we're to strive to do that. And sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes people are a little contrary. And sometimes people just don't think the way I think or think the way you think. And because they don't agree with the way you think, well, then they got to be wrong. And it's not necessary. An opinion is an opinion. Now, When it comes down to doctrine, well, yes, we have to draw a line there. But opinions is you know, your opinion is just as good as anybody else's. But both parties failed to focus on God. They were so busy focusing on one another. And have you ever been into a situation where you have been in a, you've had an argument with somebody, and now your debate is getting even more heated. And so while you're listening, quote, I shouldn't say listening. If you remember that thing we talked about last week about listening and hearing, while you're hearing the other person, they're going, yeah, 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 but you're not really listening. What you're doing is you're just waiting because you're just loading your gun because you want to put more ammo into it. And when they finally shut up, you're going to start hitting them with another volley of what you think. And so that's what happens so many different times, is that we are impatient, we're a little irritable, and we're not listening. And you can infer Moses' attitude as God was instructing him in verses 6 through 9 by what he says in verse 10. Must we, listen, you rebels, must we fetch water for you? Now, that's what we talk about hearing and listening. Moses heard God, but was he listening? Speak to the rock is what he heard God say, get water out of that rock. But apparently he wasn't listening to what he was supposed to do. Speak to the rock, and it will provide water. But again, it's hard to blame Moses for dealing with these ungrateful people. So, hardship does not unify people from time to time. And can that also be some of our problems when we find out that we're just not together on the same page? Because sometimes we have hardship, and as we talked about in our lesson in the morning, sometimes hardship can make you bitter instead of better. And when we become bitter, there's a problem there as well. So the same applies to the Lord's people today. Do we hear God or do we listen to God? Hearing God and heeding his commandments, that shows we are listening. But hearing God and not heeding his commandments, it shows that we were just simply hearing and not really listening, and it wasn't taking it in. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. The Bible, the Holy Spirit records this through Peter's pen. The elders which are among you I exhort, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but with a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I likewise, and likewise you younger, subject yourselves unto the elders. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. A lot of problems start when there is not unity in the congregation. When there's not unity, and it's the elders over there, and it's the people over here, and when you start hearing the people from the congregation saying, well, they're doing this, and they're doing that, and they decided to have a gospel meeting, and they decided to do this, and they decided that, basically, they is the elders. And so the elders now are part of the they. And then, of course, the elders say, and them. So it's the us versus them again situation, and it's not really a good situation to be in. The eldership needs to be listening, not hearing, listening to what people have to say, taking it under advisement. Sometimes the things that are said are not exactly scriptural and they're not exactly right. And so we have to do some admonition. We need to do some teaching along the way sometimes. And sometimes we need to be listening to what is being said and try our best to accommodate wherever we can, whenever we can, if it's possible. And second, in Romans chapter 12, as much as it lies within you, live peaceably with all men. So we already had that situation, and now we have God telling Moses, all right, listen this time. You're not going into the promised land. Do you hear me? Are you listening? You're not going into the promised land. Well, but why? Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, God already told them what they did wrong because you didn't listen. You didn't heed what I told you to do. I told you to speak to the rock, God says. I didn't tell you to beat it. Just speak to the rock. And yet, they didn't. And so that's why he was punished. You know, sometimes people think that what Moses did was a small mistake. Because striking the rock is just a small mistake. Getting angry and striking out is just a small mistake. Because, you know, I don't do it all the time. If you remember, though, the Bible does tell us about doing things in anger. And maybe the song we should have sang before this is angry words, or let them never. Have we ever said something in anger and, you know, once it's said, you can't take it back? But I know some people will say, well, yeah, I was just mad, but I really didn't mean it. To the people who are on the receiving end, it sure meant something. We make a mistake sometimes by getting angry and then justifying it because, oh, we were just angry. You know, it's kind of like a shotgun, isn't it? A shotgun sits this way. There's a shot thing full of shot in on this side over here. There's a firing pin, and there's a trigger that makes that firing pin hit and then explodes out. You know, if you never pull that trigger, nothing ever happens. But what happens when you do? I mean, if you took a shotgun and blew a hole in the wall, you know, I know I was angry, but I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes like a shotgun, when it goes off, I feel a whole lot better. Well, yeah, maybe the shotgun feels a whole lot better, but that wall certainly doesn't look any better. And the devastation that happens because we shoot off our mouth in anger, that's not a good thing. And guess what? Moses shot off his mouth in anger. And so he didn't make a small mistake. I know I'm willing to give him credit for getting angry because, Moses, I feel you. Yeah. But the point of it is, he made a big mistake because it wasn't a matter of procedure, okay? Because some people say, oh, wait, it's because he didn't speak to the rock, he just struck it. I mean, that's just a procedural thing. I mean, that doesn't matter, does it? Well, I believe if I go to what Connor had to say about the Lord's Supper, where you're having hot dogs and coleslaw as a fellowship meal. You know, we do worship, and we do have a fellowship hall, and you're actually sitting in it right now. Because this is where we have our fellowship meal. This is the fellowship meal. It's not eating hot dogs or eating chicken. Fellowship is where we have a unity with God. And we come together to remember our Lord. And if we're not careful, we can be guilty for criticizing God for punishing Moses too. We try to blame God for being a stickler to all these formalized details. Well, if God really is a God of love, why didn't he overlook what Moses did? Now, we may not say it out loud, but have you ever read this passage and thought, man, God, you kind of overreacted, didn't you? I mean, really? Do you really think that God was looking for a reason to keep Moses out of the promised land? No, Moses was denied going into the promised land because he made a big mistake. And the big mistake was belief. Because you did not believe me, God says. And it very well could be, it's not logical. If I looked at a wall and I spoke to that wall, give us some water. Is that logical? But if I knew, with all the rain we have out there, I think if I smack a hole in the wall there, we would probably get some water coming in here. But you see, it's not that. When God says, speak to the rock, that's illogical. But God does things in a way that doesn't make sense to us sometimes. But remember what God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. The impossible happened when water came out of a rock. That's a miracle. And it didn't have to be have somebody pounding on it when you say, give us some water, rock, and it comes out. So belief is always tied with action. So the main problem seems to be Moses' attitude. Now, we talked about being angry. Here's a verse that talks about it. Be angry and sin not. Have you ever been so angry that you actually crossed over the line? I can say I have. Especially when you're coaching a bunch of knuckleheads in high school. Jason, I mean, I don't know if you ever got there before, but yeah, sometimes you can get angry and you're not the person that you really ought to be. Sometimes they might even think in high school that this guy's demon possessed. But it happens. And it happens every time. It happens at work. It happens at, it's sometimes it even happens at home. And so Moses made a mistake, but can we not see ourselves doing some of the very same things that he did? Sometimes we let our emotion become the root of our disobedience. And so Moses' anger crossed over that line. He had righteous indignation. At least in his mind, he could justify what he did because they deserved it. And sometimes we can say the very same thing. Well, they deserved it. So I don't care who we hurt because they deserve it. Moses could have taken his anger and disappointment to God. He could have. After all this thing happened, God, these people, I'm being blamed for something I didn't do. I've been here with them every step of the way. And what does the Bible say to us? In Peter's exhortation to his brethren, he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 2 Peter 5:5. Whenever we have an issue, whenever we have a problem, whenever there's something that really upsets us, why do we want to try to fix it ourselves? Why do we want to try to make it happen? And why do we let it sit there and boil? Give it to God. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you, and He knows what you're going through. Have you ever noticed that some of the Psalms that David wrote are really downer psalms? I've got trouble every day, and it's not getting any better, basically, is what he says in some of the psalms. And it never ends with, oh, and God delivered me. He's just telling God, I'm in trouble, and yes, I'm in trouble. But there never seems to be any end to it. Thank goodness there's also some psalms where David says, after the fact, Lord, you have taken me through the storm. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so there's some psalms that are very, very uplifting. God, you took me out of some of the situations I thought I was going to die. But we need to take our cares to God. And so he was preoccupied. Maybe that's why he didn't speak to the rock. But instead of striking the people, he struck the rock. And so that was Moses' problem, and some of the things can be our problems. And so we can be denied the same thing of entering the promised land for making the same big mistakes when we lack faith. When we lack faith in God to help us get through things. I know there are sometimes we make some decisions, and we make the wrong decision based upon all of the wrong criteria. I have heard some parents, I know of a family in Florida who was so happy, just ecstatic, that their child got accepted to a Ivy League college. You know, all the prestigious ones. I'm not going to tell you what Ivy League college is. That's irregardless. So happy. It's wonderful. And you know what happened when that child, and I'll say child because they were 18 years old, that's still a child. When that child went to that prestigious college, when that child graduated from that prestigious college, that child was a self-proclaimed atheist. That child no longer believed in God. That child no longer believed in the Bible. That child no longer had any cares for anything that was religious. Because up where these prestigious colleges are, you are very, very, very hard-pressed to find congregations up that way. I know Teresa was up there in the Northeast before, and I think she had to travel almost 2 hours just to get to one place that was worshiping. And that was the closest place. So you can imagine when you send your child and you make the decision to send your child to some place where there is no spiritual background to be had and no safety net, that is a big mistake. Oh, well, we taught them real well, and you know, God will get them through. That's one of the things that we need. We need that safety net. That's why Wednesday night is so important. That's why Bible study is so important. That's why coming here together tonight is so important. It's the safety net from the big bad world that's out there. Now, the way that outsiders can get a Christian to cause him to fail is when they can find him in a situation where God is not in his heart. And when that child is in a place where God was not at all, and the professors there were not at all. I mean, these are bastions of humanism at that place. And so when you find your child in a situation like that and God is not in their heart, big mistake. Big mistake. We have one example in Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. And it says this. I lost my place. Therefore, now this is about being angry. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way first and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So this is the situation here where God was telling about people being angry and falling away from the true fellowship that needs to be. Jesus recognized proper attitude is important even when you go to worship. Because they made me angry is not a valid reason to justify absenting yourself from remembering and serving the Lord. Sometimes they, most of the time the they is either the elders or the deacons, they made me angry is because they came to me and said something about my son or my daughter who wasn't appropriately dressed. Or they said something about the way maybe we are inappropriately dressed. Or why we didn't go to a certain place and why we forsook the Lord on the day when they were out on a camping trip or going to a baseball game or a basketball game. And the thing with it is that they made me angry. If that's the way they feel, well, I'm just not going to go back anymore. Big, big, big mistake. Big mistake. No one can make you sin. That's up to you. That is your choice. No one can force you to forsake the Lord. No one can. But nevertheless, we can choose to forsake the Lord simply because there is something more important to do. No matter what it is, when you're not remembering the Lord on his day, you're forsaking him for whatever that reason is. And no one will be able to blame anyone else when you meet the Lord on the day of reckoning and you hear, "Not well done, good and faithful servant, but depart from me, you who work lawlessness." Now, if you have a problem, get over it. Get on with your life and give it to the Lord. Take your anger and disappointment to God. You know, there's consequences to leadership. Moses' action had implications, and everything that Moses did had a trickle-down effect upon the people. And so people were always watching. And anger and frustration does have a way of tainting people's views. And so what kind of example does a father's temper tantrum prove to his children? You know, you're trying to teach your children not to throw temper tantrums. In fact, they were punished when you're little for throwing a little hissy fit in the middle of the store or whatever. But yet, dad does it at home. What kind of example is that? They're watching. Moses and Aaron were guilty of hypocrisy, even though they may not have thought so, because you rebelled against my word at Meribah. They rebelled against God's word at Meribah. And so they were guilty of the very thing that they charged the people with in verse 10. So Psalm 106. And so at Psalm 106, it says, "They angered the Lord at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his," Moses' "spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips." And so you have to notice that there is an importance that's placed upon leadership. In Titus chapter 1, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker." And sometimes people talk about, well, yeah, he's never punched anybody. But, you know, you can actually attack somebody verbally. And that's, and a leader doesn't do that. And, you know, if you've ever went to any of these leadership councils or any of these things there, they always say that if there's a problem in an organization, you always complain up, never down. You praise down, and you complain up in any situation. But not soon angry, not soon self-willed. So how much worse is it when an elder makes a mistake like this as opposed to one of the other members? You know, there again is that elders can sin. It's not impossible. And yet when it happens, it seems like it has a greater impact. And that's why maybe the elders and deacons are living on a double standard. You might say, well, it's not fair. I'm not talking about fair. I'm talking about what is. Elders and deacons are held to a higher standard. Elders' wives and deacons' wives are held to a higher standard. Why? Because they are. Because what they do has a greater impact on the rest of the congregation. We need to think about those things. A leader has to sanctify God by his lifestyle. Once again, when that doesn't happen, there are casualties along the way. In Titus chapter 2, verses 2 and 5, it says, "The aged men should be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they should be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." That's the point right there, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So it's, how do you hallow God in your life, in your speech, in your dress, in the way you meet one another? At all, our whole life is one long prayer of hallow to God. So what made Moses a good leader? We're going to go through this rather quickly. He still wanted what was best for the people. Even though they did not appreciate it, even though he knew he wasn't going into the promised land, he still wanted what was best for them. And so he asked the Lord to give them a good leader like Joshua. So take the advice of Romans chapter 12. In verse 14, it says, bless them who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. It says, recompense no man evil for evil, and provide things honest in the sight of all men. And avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 21, and do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Because we all need to live our lives as an example. And so, once again, how are we conducting our lives? Are we making the same mistake that Moses made? I hope not. It's all about integrity. It's all about integrity. And so this evening, if you're here and you're subject to God's invitation about integrity, How do you stand before the Lord? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? And have you been buried with Jesus? And have you been raised from that watery grave of baptism to be a new creature? If so, but you have failed to hallow God in your lifestyle, in the things that you do, in the places where you work or wherever it is, it's never too late to change. I've known some people who've actually had to quit a job because it interfered with their spiritual life. The people that was there, the hours that they had to work, the things that they had to do or things that they were required to do, all those things did not hallow God. And so it's a matter of integrity. The way we talk, the way we walk, all those things. So if there's a reason that you would need the prayers of the congregation tonight, well then I hope that you would have the integrity and the courage to make the right decision and to do the right thing and ask for the prayers of the congregation. We'd ask you to do it now as we stand, as we sing our song of invitation.